Well, again, happy Mother's Day to all the moms here. Yeah, you better get one. My assistant will get you a mug. Assistant, would you like to get your mother a mug? She said my mom probably won't get a mug because she doesn't drink coffee. And I was like, well, mugs can be used for more than just coffee. So I told her how I like to use mugs for ice cream. So when next time you have ice cream, use a mug. There you go. But I'm glad you got your mug. Keeping my eyes on you, Rhonda. So, kiddos, where's all my kiddos at? All right. Have you wished your mom a happy Mother's Day today? Yes. No. Wendell. Okay, kiddos, I want you all to stand up. I want you to find your mom. Look at her. Look at your mom. Not me. Yeah, there you go. Levi, take your eyes off the screen. Look at your mom. He probably has a picture of you on there, I bet. I want you to say happy Mother's Day. One, two, three. Happy Mother's Day. Sounded like I just said happy Mother's Day to you all, so I don't know. Well, happy Mother's Day to you. Moms that don't have children here, have you heard from your children? Yes, congratulations. My mom has not, so I will be calling her shortly. Not right now, but, you know, later. So, moms do a lot for us, don't they? They do a lot for us. And there's an old song, I think it's old, you may not, old song that I think really applies to moms. And Barth, I forgot to tell you this, you're going to have to go through the slides as the song plays, just FYI. It's called Drinking From My Saucer. And it was originally written by Jimmy Dean. You know the guy I associate with Jimmy Dean sausage, probably. That was my association with him. But he wrote this song. And this version I have for you this morning is a very obscure version I found on YouTube that happened to work perfectly for my sermon. And so that is what we're going to listen to. It wasn't the best version I found, but I encourage you to look it up. There's some better versions, but this one fit with what I needed for this morning. So let's listen to it this morning and just embrace it. The words will be on the screen for you to follow along. So, Barth. Thank you.
my cup is overflowed.
I like that song in regards to mothers, because they truly do drink from the saucer. Because why? Their cups are overflowing. They, all they do, it overflows from their cup. And thinking about this, I was wondering, kiddos, do you even know what a saucer is?
Yes.
Yes? So confidently down there underneath the seats. What is a saucer, Wendell? I don't remember. Yeah. So the saucer is a little plate underneath the cup, right? And the cup's overflowing onto that plate, right? And they overflow their cups with all the things that they do for us. So this morning I decided to put together a list of things that mothers are. And so moms, for your pleasure, I'll let you look at this list as I go through it with you this morning, okay? So first is mothers are nurses, okay? You take care of all the scraped knees and the sick kids, and I will mention husbands, because I know we're wimps when we are sick. You bandage us up when we are in need, and you make sure everyone has taken their medicine and vitamins, right? Because without it, we would be lost. Second, mothers are counselors. You listen to us in times of need. You give sound advice even when we don't want to hear it. Best of all, you don't charge us, right? It's the best, right? Mothers are mediators. You help with when conflict arises, standing as a bridge to help us see the other's point of view, right? Mothers are chauffeurs. You drive us to and from school, to practices and games, band recitals, whatever it may be, right? You drive us here to there and back again, right? Mothers are disciplinarians. You help keep us in line. Sometimes you have to be the bad guy, but it's all through love. Mothers are chefs. You make that special meal for each of your kids and your husband, right? You have that special cookie recipe memorized. You are there to make sure breakfast is on the table, lunches are sent to school, and dinner is as good as it's going to get that day, right? Mothers are cleaning ladies. From dishes to laundry, from bathrooms to bedrooms, I can guarantee a mom's always going to find something that needs to be cleaned.
Yeah.
Mothers are interior decorators. If decorations were left up to men and kids, houses would be filled with empty walls, cushions and beds on floors, and we would be completely fine with it, I'm sure. Okay? You make the home beautiful. You make the home welcoming, right? Mothers are gardeners. You bring life through plants and gardens. You beautify the exterior of our homes. Even before you get inside, that's a welcoming place. Mothers are lawn care specialists, okay? From cutting the grass, trimming trees, maybe.
No.
You're not afraid to get your hands dirty. I know Mel's been helping me a lot with the lawn care lately, so I'm not unable to speak up here. So I appreciate that. Mothers are coaches and teachers. You teach us how to play our favorite sport, maybe. How to play our favorite instrument. How to teach us to read. How to teach us to tie our shoes. Maybe you taught your kid how to drive. And if so, God be with you, and you deserve reward for that. And you do all of this with significantly less amount of yelling from what Dad would give, right? Rhonda's like, oh no, I yell a lot. Oh, I don't know if I could. I would teach one of my children how to drive, not the other. Mothers also give cuddly hugs. Your warm embrace in the good and bad times. But most importantly, moms, you are a link to God. Okay? See, mothers are in most cases a child's first impression of God's love. They show that love in a way that sometimes men are incapable of doing. See, mothers drink from their saucer because their cup is overflowing, right? And this morning, I wanted us to take a special look at a mother in the Bible who epitomized this whole idea, okay? And that's what we're going to do this morning. So, her cup truly overflowed, and that's who we're going to look at. So, I want you to turn with me to Luke in your Bible, if you haven't already. Luke, the third book in the New Testament, chapter 1, okay? We're going to be starting in verse 26, and we're going to be going through 45. And now we usually read this section of Scripture during Christmas, and I know how much my wife loves Christmas outside of Christmas time, so I decided to bless her with this. And she likes to keep Christmas to Christmas, so that was a little joke on her. So, now if you haven't figured out who we're going to be talking about this morning, we're going to be looking at Mary, Jesus' mother, okay? So I'm going to read to you this passage. So it's kind of lengthy, so bear with me. I'm going to be starting in verse 26, and I'm going to be reading through verse 45. It says this: "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled by his words and began to wonder about the meaning of this greeting. So the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Listen, you will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end.' Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I have not been intimate with a man?' The angel replied, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And look, your relative Elizabeth has also become pregnant with a son in her old age. Although she was called barren, she is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God.' So Mary said, 'Yes, I am a servant of the Lord. Let this happen to me according to your word.' Then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary got up and went hurriedly into the hill country to the town of Judah and entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She exclaimed with a loud voice, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child in your womb. And who am I that the mother of my Lord should come and visit me? For the instant the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that what was spoken to her by the Lord would be fulfilled.'" So we're going to see here this morning that Mary epitomized this idea of a mother's cup overflowed throughout her life. And like all mothers know, motherhood is often filled with many difficulties, okay? Life's not easy. Okay, if you thought it was, I'm sorry. It's not easy. And this morning we're going to look at the many difficulties that Mary faced in her as a mother. So Mary was pregnant and she was not married, okay? Which brings the first difficulty. She faced the difficulty of a tarnished reputation, right? She faced that reputation. And that's what it seems like on the surface, right? But we know the rest of the story. We know how the story ends, so it's hard for us to think about it. We know that Jesus was of the Holy Spirit and is the Son of God, and her reputation was actually not tarnished. But do you think the people believed that story in the little town of Nazareth? I seriously doubt it. If you came from a small town like I did, you know that juicy gossip is a big thing, right? It's a hot item. And here you have an unmarried teenage girl who's expecting a child, right? You're only going to expect one thing. And I'm sure the facts that she was not married yet and she was pregnant, the gossip must have been going rampant in Nazareth. What's happening with Mary? Oh my, right? That's one of the first things she had to face as a mother. The second thing Mary experienced difficulty with was her poverty, okay? We probably don't really realize it or really think too much about it, how poor Mary and Joseph actually were. They were not well off. They were very poor. When Jesus was brought to the temple as a baby for the first time, his dedication to God, Mary and Joseph, they offered two doves in sacrifice to God, okay? Just two doves. And this was the sacrifice of the very poorest of Judean society. The very poorest. There was nothing less than you could give than those two doves. Now, I was raised in a very typical middle-class family. I wouldn't say we were poor. And she's not here, and she probably wouldn't be able to say this, but she would probably agree with me. My mom was just cheap, okay? So we didn't have a lot, but I wouldn't consider us poor. But my lovely wife, the beautiful mother of my children, she grew up a little on the poorer side. And one thing I know that she had in her house, though, was love. And I can see that looking back at her family. See, love is free and is much better in the long run than having lots of money. Okay? So Mary was able to love Jesus in a way that money would have never been able to help. Third thing Mary faced difficulty with was the people's hatred for her child, even at his birth. Matthew 2:13 says this, "An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to look for the child to kill him.'" Right? When Jesus was born, the prince of darkness of this world, Satan himself, set in motion everything at his command to do away with Jesus. Right? Before he was even able to speak, there was someone trying to kill Jesus. Even today, Satan knows that the quickest way to destroy your family, one of the quickest ways, is to attack your children. Right? Those who don't yet have the maturity to deal with what he's throwing at them. So protect your children in their vulnerable years. Because you're instructed as a parent to monitor the great majority of the things that your children are doing. Like simply as watching TV. Oh my goodness. There's so much stuff. Watching TV. Who they choose to be their friends. And being on the internet, right? There's just so much thrown at our kids today that I didn't even have growing up as a child. It's so different. Another difficulty we believe Mary faced at some point in her life was the loss of Joseph, which would make her a single mom. Okay? We don't know exactly what happened to Joseph, but most scholars assume that he must have died when Jesus was in his early teens. Last time Joseph was mentioned in the Bible was when he was 12, when he was 12 years old. And we can assume that at this point in her life that Mary became a single mom. And being a single mom is hard. I don't know if any of you have experienced that, but it's hard. You do double the work, right? And a lot of the times with no help from anybody. It's hard. Mary certainly had her share of difficulties in life. She did. But she also, we're not going to just talk about the bad things that happened. We're going to talk about the good stuff. She had many valuable and blessed resources. Okay? See, Mary was certainly a mother who drank many times from her saucer because of her cup overflowed. And we're going to look at some of those now. One of the first one was Mary had a strong commitment to doing God's will. Right? Verse 35 says that the Holy Spirit came upon her, right? And the power of the Most High overshadowed her. See, God was with Mary, and absolutely no harm was going to come to her. In verse 38, Mary gave her answer to God in prayer. She said this, "I am a servant of the Lord. Let this happen to me according to your word." Right? Jesus, Mary's own son, guess what? He was the word. Right? He is willing and creatively dealing with Mary, his own mother. Right? She was making commitment to that baby who would one day be her king, right? Mary knew the baby was going to grow inside her, was going to be God's only begotten son. And moms, when God places a child into your arms, his will for you is to bring that child up in a home where he or she will know God and to know God's word. Amen? That's what we need. So Mary had a strong commitment to God. And she also had the valuable resource of Jesus, who was a perfectly obedient child, right? Moms, can you imagine a perfectly obedient child? Whew. Hebrews 4:15 says this, "For we do not have a high priest incapable of sympathizing with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin," right? See, Mary had the wonderful blessing of a child who was obedient, okay? In fact, Jesus was the perfect child. So this could have actually been maybe even a difficulty for Mary as well, right? Perhaps Jesus being perfect presented a problem to his half-siblings who, guess what? They were not perfect. That's kind of big shoes to step into, right? We all have older siblings if you're not the oldest. That's the standard, isn't it? Right? I know my sister Michelle, she was the standard. And you're always trying to live up to the oldest sibling. And she wasn't perfect, but can you imagine coming after a perfect child? That's hard. So kiddos, I want you to look at me one more time. Where are you at? Where's your eyes? Okay? Since no one of you are perfect, okay, the best thing that you can give your mom today, better than cards, better than candy, flowers, is to just be a loving and obedient child. Right? You don't have to even spend money on that. Did you know that? You can just do that out of your own will. So that's my challenge for you to do this today. Because I know we don't always do the right things. It's hard, isn't it? And we're not without sin like Jesus was. But we can be obedient to our parents. We can. We can strive to do that. We talked just a little about Joseph, and we can say here that Joseph was another extremely valuable resource for Mary in the short time that he was with her. We see that he was supportive of Mary. See, Joseph could have divorced Mary instead of marrying her. He easily could have. For in Jewish custom, Joseph had the legal right to put Mary away quietly and secretly when he found out that she was with child. He could have done that. But Joseph didn't do that. He was a caring and supportive man in Mary's life, always there for her when she needed him. I like one of Billy Graham's favorite stories of a husband who over the years was not very attentive to his wife, and I wanted to share that with you this morning. One day, he started feeling guilty about how unattentive he was being to his wife. So he decided that day he was going to change, right? And on his way home from work, he bought a box of candy, some flowers to surprise his wife. And the husband walks up to the front door, and wanting to surprise her even more, he rings the doorbell so she will come to him at the door, at the home. And the wife opens the door, and there her husband stands, candy in one hand, flowers in the other. And on top of all that, he's singing, "I love you truly, truly dear." His wife immediately starts sobbing and crying, the tears just rolling down her cheeks, okay? She said to her husband this, "Oh, honey, everything went wrong today. We had a leak in a pipe under the sink. The children have been terrible. The house is a wreck. And now on top of it all, you come home drunk." So husbands, you might want to be careful about how supportive you are of your wife today. No, I'm just kidding. Be supportive of your wife. Support your wife in what she does. And support the woman God has called her to be, right? Support her. In verse 39 through 45, it tells us of a bonus resource that Mary had. And her name was Elizabeth. Okay? She was a dear and close relative and friend who was really a friend of encouragement for Mary. You will remember that Elizabeth is the mother of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, right? And moms, I want you to appreciate and think of those other women in your life that you have, that you are trusted friends that you can turn to, right? We all need somebody that we can talk to and tell our troubles to, right? So when you think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, you might think of all that she was rewarded for her faithfulness. But that did not come without a cost, right? Because wasn't she saddened at the foot of the cross of Jesus? Wouldn't any mother be? But it doesn't stop there, right? Because she was there at the empty tomb to see Jesus resurrected from the dead, right? She was most likely in the upper room with the 120 gathered to pray, and the great power of the Holy Spirit came upon them. Mary even lived to see her other children accept their half-brother Jesus as their Savior and Lord, right? And then when Mary passed from life into death, God rewarded her eternally with all the riches in heaven, as he has promised to reward us as well, right? There's heartache that Mary experienced, but there's also joy, right? She got to see both of them. She got to experience both of them. And mothers, guess what? You get to experience both of them too, okay? As Dale and Margaret come up, I want you to think about your mom. And when you think about her, I feel like I do this when I think about my mom. I think about the home I grew up in, right? And when we get to adulthood, when we remember the sounds and the smells of home, of our childhood years, what are some of the things you think about? Maybe they're fresh cookies baking in the oven. The smell of the specific laundry detergent your family used. I don't know, that might be it. Maybe it's music playing in the kitchen. Maybe it's that perfectly tender pot roast in the crock pot. Oh, that's one of my favorites. Maybe it's the smell of fresh brewed coffee in the morning. Maybe that reminds you of home. One that's probably going to stick with me for the rest of my life is the smell of fresh baked bread in the oven. Oh my goodness. It's one of my favorite smells. Maybe it's the banging of the back door as the kids are running in and out of the house when they're not supposed to be, right? Might trigger our memory of you running in and out of the house when you are not supposed to be. See, as you take in the day today and every day after, start to think about the things that you associate with your mom. Because your mom plays a vital role in your life. And make sure you give her the credit that she deserves, right? And moms, one last thing for you. I want to encourage you to continue to let your cup overflow. As a mom, as a grandmother, as a friend, let your cup continue to overflow. And don't be afraid to drink from the saucer, because that's what it's there for, to keep and catch all that overflows. So let's close in a song, and then I'll close in prayer.